by the end of Saturday, it was, we need to take out the young dude. We need to take out the lefties.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time hitting 5-foot putts.
Did I see that you hit a ball so hard you broke a driver head?
That is correct. It may be the only ball I squared up all day.
So, what's your handicap?
Well, we don't have to talk about that right now.
I was a member at a private course like the last 2 years, but I've never been as like into golf. Was that a humble brag, guy?
That was such a humble brag. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Lefty's Lounge podcast. I'm your host, Ron Newkirk. With me, as always, is Kraphic. Frankie couldn't make it in here. He is just, the Masters hangover is too much for him. And we are certainly still a little hungover, but glad to have you here, Kraphic. What's going on, man?
What's up? Yeah, Masters edition. It's always sad seeing it come to a close, but we were blessed with another great weekend of golf. Like, oh, man, it's crazy. What another crazy tournament. Didn't expect what we saw, but
no, I mean, not at all.
This was a year of everything was unexpected, I feel like.
Everything, including our Masters. There were some surprises there.
Yeah.
We got a lot of golf to talk about. So
why don't we start there?
Yeah, let's start with ours. I think we knew that everybody knew we were going to have a new champion. There was no chance to have a repeat champion. So we do have a new champion, and he's sitting in this Zoom right now.
He's on this podcast.
He's on this podcast. He's lefty, and he
single digit handicap.
He's a single digit handicap. And he doesn't have long hair. Spoiler alert. It's me. I'm the new champion I'm the 2022 Connecticut Masters champion, but what a ride it was this year, huh?
Yeah. Very, oh man, we were talking about it early in the week. I don't know if we talked about it in the, we must've talked about it in the preview, but, just kind of watching the weather, and then you guys get Thursday, just a monsoon down there.
Yeah. We were pretty optimistic.
Yeah.
Cause we did it on Tuesday, right after we did this podcast, and you could tell because I listened to it again Friday, and I was just like, man, we were dead wrong on what's gonna happen. Because like waking up Friday, I mean, we just, if you live in the area, we got absolutely shit on. Like it had to be, they said we were gonna get like an inch and a half. We probably got two and a half inches. Like
yeah.
It started raining at about 12:30 on Thursday, and then I got a text from Shaw that said it didn't stop until like 4 a.m. and it was pissing at night,
dude.
Like,
it just progressively
got worse.
I'm just remembering now, that was the night I drove home, and yeah, when I got off exit 9 on 84 to go like through Brookfield the back way on 25,
yeah,
it started to progressively just start raining harder and harder. And by the time I got like to my hill, it was poor. It was raining so hard, dude. Tree limbs were coming down.
Undescribable amount of rain.
Yeah.
So I wake up on Friday, and it was literally, it was just so soaking wet. And I'm like, man, there's no way that Candlewood would ever take on this rain. Driving to work, Route 7 was absolutely flooded. That was when I really started to get nervous. Thought about what to do. So I called Fairview, I called Candlewood, and the board was just, we were on fire. We're all talking about what the hell we're going to do.
Propose new tracks, potential options. You had plan A, B, C,
I mean,
D.
we were tirelessly going through everywhere. Hammy was calling different courses. All the courses that we tried, like Gillette, all these different courses, nobody was allowing carts. And they were just saying that everything was soaked. I got a call back from Scott at Candlewood saying that it was closed. So on my next call to Fairview, I asked them how they were doing. And surprisingly, we got a good answer. We did find out that they were lying to us. they said that their course takes on water very well, which it does because it's in the
middle of summer.
Yeah, not in spring. So I had made the decision. I asked them if they had an early tee time on Sunday. And we eventually just decided on playing Fairview both days because Candlewood was closed. Boy, it was different going in like Friday, knowing that we were going to play both days there. It was completely different mindset. And then we got there on Saturday and it was horrible.
It's funny, dude. For some reason, I don't know if you were in the same position, but when I found out that like everything else was pretty much shit and Fairview had a spot at 7 a.m. I don't know why I didn't think anything else, but like, oh, this is going to be sick. Like there's no way Fairview's that bad. Like, I was like, this is going to be like, awesome. We're going to get to play Fairview twice. Like,
yeah.
I had literally zero idea what we were in store for.
I think that's why it was such like a shell shock when we got there, because I had the same, like, I'm just like, oh yeah, they do. It drains so well and it's going to be windy.
Their greens are always solid.
Friday was such a gorgeous day too. Like it was a little breezy, nice and warm, probably about 60 degrees. So like, man, it's Fairview's probably going to be all right, you know? And then we pull up there and it was soaking wet. It was cart path only, obviously. Everything was just soaked. We didn't really notice how bad it was soaked until we got out there. At least I didn't. We went to the range. We all did our thing. You know, everybody's getting hype. And then we putts over to the chipping and putting area. And we realized that there's another wrench in the whole thing, that the damn greens were punched. So what were your thoughts when you saw that?
So at first I was like, all right, I saw the sign on the door, which I'd realized nobody saw, but they had done it. They had done it on 4-5. So, which was 2 days prior to the Thursday storm. So right. With the, I at first when I saw the top putting green, I was like, oh, you know what? They don't look terrible, because the way that you do it is that, you know, they plug the holes and then you fill it in with sand. Mm-hmm. Well, you could tell what happened was on the course, and you could see it on the second practice green, is the rain was so hard, it blew the sand out of the holes.
And so there were just literally so much rain. It was, exactly.
And it was... they were awful. It was so bad. Like I couldn't believe that it was Fairview. Like it was weird, like playing it as like, you know, hitting chips as if it was Fairview, and it was not.
It was just
like Pavrog.
Yeah, it was miserable. And I didn't see that sign. That's hilarious. Yeah, that there was a sign. Shit. So yeah, just a bunch of the other thing too. Like we see that they're punched, and I mean, on the first hole, you're just walking out and it's just mush everywhere.
Oh, yeah. There was standing
horrible
water. Yeah.
And then they didn't even have like prorated rates, like green fees.
Yeah. Which is
literally, I got a small bucket of fucking balls and it was $82.
Yeah. That's crazy.
For punched greens after a monsoon.
Another big red flag looking back was we pulled up on both days and there was no one there.
Yes.
And that place, there is never no one there.
Crawling.
On a Saturday, on the Masters weekend.
I know.
Like, is there something
especially
we don't
when
know?
They know the boys are coming? Like, it's usually packed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Patrons.
Wait, can we talk about, I don't know why that just made me think of, can we talk about the tea gift?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
We're not doing much video now, but it's sitting right behind me. Friday, we had a great turnout for the club cleaning. It was a lot of fun Friday, even though we were all, you know, we knew what was good. We kind of knew what was happening. It was super wet, but everybody was hyped up. And then Shaw comes out of nowhere with a tee gift because he was supposed to put them out on Candlewood, like every other hole, so that they would be there. But he made actual Connecticut Masters flags, and I think I posted a thing on Instagram on day one of the flag, but those things were actually going to be out, and then we were gonna frame one and put it up at Candlewood. So that was a shout out to him. That was, I'm still pretty hyped up about that one.
Yeah, dude. We each got one.
Yeah, so we all have one now. I think the goal is maybe to get 9 more and have like it on every hole
at Candy for Sunday, on Sunday
at Candy. But yeah, or maybe get 9 more that we can all keep, and then we can do the opposite thing like he was going to do. But either way, it was a sick, probably one of the best tee gifts out there, I think, so far. And when I say probably, I think it just was.
I mean, Hammy's poker chip doesn't stack
I know.
Up.
Hammy's poker chip was
a great one.
Yeah, it was the reigning champion.
It was the leader in the clubhouse.
It was 100% the leader in the clubhouse.
There's a new champ in town.
And he did the shirts, too. The shirts were pretty sick, too.
True.
The logo. But this one just takes the cake. So, yeah, we definitely.
And also the cornhole boards.
Oh man.
Are they having a battle?
Those guys are having a battle even knowing. A tea gift off.
Oh my Super god. Sick. I can't wait to see what happens next year.
Yo, Hammy's up.
You think it'll be an electronic?
Oh my gosh. Man, a personal range finders with our logo on it.
No, it's an audio book of the rules. Like you can clip it onto your bag. Like
an audio book that he reads with his voice on it.
Just burps in there.
That's so good. Yeah, and you can hear like the clanging of his cranberry vodka on the side, like every time he takes a sip. That's oh my hilarious. God, that would be so funny.
But yeah, the weather sucked. Dude, Sunday was brutal.
Sunday was real bad.
I wasn't in it, but I couldn't imagine actually like needing to grind that day.
Oh, it was the worst. And we'll get into that. We could talk just a little bit about Saturday. Zach. Zach was day one leader. So we had there was a little bit of rain during the day. And Zach actually played with you, right?
Yeah, he was in my group.
So coming out of that, I think it was Zach, me, Shaw, and then Dave, right? So we each had two.
Yes, Dave.
Yeah, we each had two. Dave shot pretty well then, huh? I don't know.
Yeah, our group won the day one bet, that's out there.
I hate to bring that up.
Not a big deal. Won that by 2 strokes.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had a single.
I was just going to say it. We should talk about your contribution to that team.
I parred
besides
the first
just
hole.
Drinking the beer.
I parred the first hole.
That's awesome.
And then I maybe had one other par. But yeah, I sucked this weekend.
You were not that good.
I shot 98 105, which is
I can't insane. Even listen. Like I can't I
had,
even listen.
Hold on,
to
wait.
That,
let me but, finish. Let me finish. I think I actually had like 47 putts. I keep saying I had 50 putts, but I had 47 putts the first round, 11 three jacks. Granted, those, I will raise a hand. They weren't official three jacks, but like I was just off the green on a couple of them. So I'm just counting.
Oh, so you're counting them.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I would just say by like the fourth hole, I was like, oh no, I don't have it. And which is fine. Like I actually, it took me like a day to get over it. I've done a good job, I feel like, of setting realistic expectations and to think that I can go 5 months without hitting a ball and then just play 2 rounds of golf back to back without playing any golf and be decent. No, I shouldn't say that. I could be decent, but it didn't surprise me what happened that weekend. Like I was cool with that.
And with the conditions too, like it really wasn't.
But I would have stopped keeping score like 4 holes in. Right. And I was just at the point where I was like, I need to like work on the swing, and I can't do that here. So
right.
I'm just going to like kind of fuck around. Yeah. 3-4 putts Sunday. That was something to.
That's a big improvement.
About. Yeah. No. Big yeah. Well, yeah. Yes. Kind of. No. 3-4 putts.
Oh, 3-4. Oh,
yeah, not 4-3 putts.
I heard that wrong.
Yeah, the 4 putts.
3-4 putts. I forgot about that.
Yeah, which is
now, were those off the green or were those actually?
No, those were real ones. Those were natural.
Natural force.
Yeah, natural force. Yeah, no strokes.
Oh, that's so what was the we did the
math. Oh, and I had an 11 on a par 3, the 10th hole. That was fucking sick.
Just keeps getting
better. I lost 3 balls and 2 of them were from the ladies' tees.
Oh, that's right. On 10?
Yeah, on 10. Yeah, you know what's funny is coming away from the weekend, I actually don't feel like I like played. Like I didn't feel like I hit the ball that bad. Like
it sounds like you just putt like shit.
I hit driver terrible, I'll say that. And I hit it way too many times.
Yeah.
But other than that, I hit the ball pretty good. I was just short on every single thing.
At any point did you think to like just use the 3-wood or the 5-wood? Or were you just so checked out that?
Oh yeah, I was just kind of trying to like figure something out, but yeah, I never figured it out.
Hmm. I mean, I used it a couple times, but
it was good that it's over.
It's over. Yeah, it's over now. So yeah, Saturday Zach was in the lead. I think we didn't have very good scores all overall. I mean, last year
neither of my groups that I played in shot under broke 90. The lowest score was like 92 or 94 each day.
Oh, you're saying, yeah.
Gross in my scores. Like
gross no, scores.
Oh, sorry, gross. Yeah.
Gross scores.
Yeah. Just like to give you an idea of like what type of golf was being played.
Yeah, because Brett was the other single digit handicap and he went 92, 94 or something like that. 92, yeah. 93, something like that, which really isn't horrible, but you know, for our standards, it definitely wasn't our best. That's for sure. I think day one, Zach shot a 94 for a net 80. I think I was in second. I shot an 89 for a net 81. Trying to remember these. I know Shaw was at an 82. I believe he shot a 94. What did he play as a 9?
That sounds right.
No, 93. 93 for an 82 because he was playing as an 11. I remember that because I was doing math on the back nine. And then Dave shot like 102 or something like that.
Yes, that sounds right.
To come in at 102. 83, something like that. So that was our top four. Hammy was right there. I believe he was like mid-90s to upper 90s. But the scores just, they weren't that good. We got rain and it was certainly wet. I was having an issue that day. I was piping driver, complete opposite of you. I was landing in the fairway every time and far. But my problem was the fairways, it felt like such a tight lie. Like, because if you caught the club even a little bit, and I usually do hit it a little heavy, if you caught that club a little bit, you just were going to come up 30, 40 yards short, like, and just take a beaver pellet. Like,
oh, yeah.
So I was having a really hard time with that. And then even chipping and stuff was like so hard. I found myself, I was putting from pretty far off the green. Because it was just hard to get a good feel.
Like, yeah. I don't zero feel for anything.
It was so hard. You weren't getting no action on the green. It was just, it was a struggle. Then Sunday was even, I feel like I would have taken Saturday's weather over Sunday hands down.
Oh my God. Yeah. Not even ridiculous. Close. It was freezing.
We teed off an hour and a half earlier than on Saturday. I think Saturday we teed off at 8:30 and we were on the tee box at 7:04 on Sunday. And it was frigid. Like everybody, Shaw brought those hand warmers or the feet warmer. Saved my hands at least. It was brutal. So the live scoring kind of sucked.
Yeah, so
what happened there?
It's actually a sick app, but it is not set up for one person to do. It's not like built that way. So I was doing it all like on my own, but you have to actually click into, so separate screen, click into each player and then each hole. So if I was to like do your score, I'd have to click your name, then I'd have to go hole one. And then every time I would click into your name, so like we got to like hole 5 or 6, I was doing it, I'd have to go through each hole. So I'd have to go through hole 1, hole 2, hole 3, hole 4, hole 5. And then once I entered your score, I'd have to go back to home.
What?
And then go back and then pick a new name and then enter the score. Like, then
oh my
go,
God. So it'd take
whole. So I did it for all 8 groups for like 5 holes, and then I couldn't keep doing it.
Yeah.
Like, it was just taking me too long and we were starting to get slower.
Yeah.
So it actually would work. It is super easy to do it on your phone.
Yeah.
I don't know what the link was, but
I have no idea. Yeah.
We could ease, and it was awesome because Hammy put the handicap scores in. So the leaderboard that it showed it was net. So it was like watching you guys like in real time with the strokes.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
So it was cool. And we were like saying, like, this would be awesome and would be easy. We should do this, but we couldn't. And it's something that we can send out and people can follow. But
we should look into making our own.
We can do that next year for sure. Or anytime we actually do anything.
Well, I mean, we got to just, because that's a lot of work, though.
What do you mean?
Didn't you just say that that's why we didn't do it? Because.
No. I'm saying it would be super easy if everybody did it on their own. So the way you would finish a hole and you would literally just pull your phone up and you click it and you just type in the number and then you hit next hole.
Nice.
So it's just like keeping your score on your phone.
So we just got to do that. Yeah.
So it's just everybody did that.
Yeah. We just got to have a team leader that says, hey, post your score.
Yeah, we did that. We'll just do, or actually, this is what we were saying is what we should do. And this is the way it should be done is like, if we were playing together, I would have your name and I would log your score and you would have my name and you would log my score.
Oh, I see.
So we would be keeping each other's score. So it's more,
I bet that was like that was a rules official.
It was, thing, wasn't it? It was. Yeah,
it sounded like it.
But that is like, that's something that we should definitely do. And we could do for other tournaments too. It'd be kind of cool just to have that live scoring
app. It would as far as I definitely want to. We probably should have figured it out before 6:30 in the morning on Sunday.
On Sunday, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. But that would be pretty cool, dude, for like Shawnee, the individual rounds, or the member guest for the 9 holes. Like,
we could definitely do that with us 4 and just post our score. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
That would be cool for the day. And yeah. Very cool. I'll just explain a little bit about, because it did get a little dicey at the end. Through 9 holes, I was in the lead. I know that. You had sent me the scores of your group, which were, I think Brett was the only one that broke 50. and he had a 48, so it wasn't like he was too far off.
Oh,
so in my mind, you guys were irrelevant. We did have our first withdraw of the Masters tournament ever.
The greatest thing ever.
Before I get into the back 9, I will explain this, because that was crazy. Quite possibly one of the most strokes on a hole never recorded.
Never recorded.
Okay. So I'm going to explain this and you guys can count at home. And Dave, I'm sorry, but it happened. So Dave hit a drive off of 3, which is the par 5, long par 5, trouble off to the right. It's a tough tee shot. So he hit one and it was close to the woods. So we said, hey, hit a provisional just in case. His provisional was closer than his first one. So we were like, we're probably going to find that one. We didn't find it, either one of them. And technically he should have gone back to the tee box and hit, but there was a group behind us, already, which is crazy because they weren't even playing for the Masters, which I kept saying, like, this is the craziest thing. There's a fucking dude in shorts. It's just absolutely absurd.
Who let this guy out?
I have no idea. So I just said, hey, listen, add another stroke and just drop where you are. Like, and then we'll figure it out from there. If we think that you should drop,
or it wouldn't be a strokes. Masters without one of those.
Exactly. So I just said, do that. We don't have time to go back, blah, blah, blah. So he adds a stroke. So he was hitting. So from his provisional, so he hit his provisional 3 out, drop 4, stroke 5. So he was hitting 6 from, I mean, which everybody else was taking their second shot.
From like 240 out
there. Oh, probably that.
Yeah.
So he hits another one wide right. so far wide right that you guys were on the next tee box for the par three that goes downhill. And I hear Frankie yelling, "It's right here."
Yeah, it was down the hill.
Thank God he found it, but it was on the tee box with a very difficult shot. I don't know what happened there. So what happened?
I think he tried. He made one attempt at it. I don't even know if it was a good, like, if it had a chance and it just clipped the rock. I didn't see it, or if it went sideways and hit the rock, but it ended up sideways.
Okay.
So it went down the hill all the way down to where, like, the ladies' tees are.
Towards
the fourth green, which was completely, he was completely blocked out by, there was no way, he would have had to play back up towards the teeing area and then over through the trees.
Incredible. And by then he was hitting
seven into the rocks. He had to hit eight up, like, to get up back into the, just have a chance to get near the fairway.
Yep. With another looming penalty shot, like, from the rules official.
He was just space cadet, and Hammy was just staring him down.
I bet he could feel the pressure.
Oh my God.
Hammy was staring him down saying, "You better withdraw, motherfucker."
Yeah.
And that's what he did.
And he actually took his shoe off. He was wearing a white sock and he just started waving it. He was literally, it was really weird. He was close enough that we could hear him, so he could have just said, like, "I'm going to withdraw." And he just took his shoe off.
I just had to mute for a second because I'm currently dying.
That didn't happen.
Yeah.
But that's what it felt like, because when we were there, it felt like, I'm telling you, that's how long we were watching him being like, "What is he gonna do right now?"
You guys couldn't hit your tee shots, right?
No, because we were aiming right at his head. And I had Hazel rocketed two of them already. It was the third. It was the fourth hole. I didn't want to pay a dental bill.
Oh my gosh! So, long story short, we're standing on the third green, putting out and stuff, and he walks up with no clubs, no nothing, and he just goes, "I'm withdrawing." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "We'll just figure out a maximum. Like, we'll just give you 20 strokes." Yeah. He goes, "Nope, I'm withdrawing." I was like, you can't, you know, I kind of argued a couple times. And then after that, I was just like, "All right, whatever." And he withdrew. And that was the first one of the ever.
I tell you that I was so hyped about him withdrawing that after the fourth hole is that fifth hole, which is that par four. And you have, like, the tree line in the middle. And then that pond on the right. And it's really only like 260 to carry that pond.
It's not bad.
I tried to hit driver so hard, rope hooked it at OB right.
Yeah, because that
I was
that
so jacked that
catapulted you into the
that
seventh
meant
place.
That I wasn't finishing last.
Yeah. Still can say you've never finished last.
And I've never finished last at a
Masters. that was the withdrawal on Sunday. So fast forward to the ninth, you know, we finished nine. I get the picture of your scorecard, everybody's out. And at that point I was feeling pretty comfortable. I feel like I was just, I had,
did you know how like much, how many strokes you were up?
I started to do a little bit of math after the 10th hole, because that hole, I mean, I think I shot a 42 and I think Shaw shot a 46, I believe. I think it was three strokes. So maybe I shot a 43 and 43 for me and he shot a 46. So there was three strokes. So me playing as an eight, him playing as an 11, I just figured if I could just tie him, I win. Right.
Right.
I think he had like a 49. So that put me in the lead. And then after the 10th hole was probably the best shot I've ever shot in my life. The best five iron.
Oh yeah.
Super windy. And I mean, hitting a five iron into that hole seems like sketchy as hell.
You know?
Hit it. It was pure peeling right to the cup and landed probably 6 feet from the cup. Those guys were spraying everywhere. I think Zach got a six, Shaw got a five. And I wasn't keeping track of Dave after he withdrew. I just didn't do any. So after that, I'm trying to do the math and I'm like, all right, I just got to keep going. So we're plugging away. Mid round, we had kind of told Shaw to, like, just stop hitting driver. Like if he just didn't hit driver and just hit a three wood nice and smooth, he'd probably be a lot better golfer. And I regret saying that now, because he started, it was like that first year at Fairview when he was like those six holes that he was just doing really well.
The opening six, we call them.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, nobody forgets the opening six.
He just slowly kept getting smoother and smoother, and just, it was like par after par. And I was right with him. I think I bogeyed one. He got a couple strokes back. So I think we're even or something going into 14, that drivable par four there. 14 it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in complete safe mode. Smack a four iron out there, perfect position. He does the same. And this was the turning point where I started to really pucker up. I had about 90 yards in, 95 yards, adjusted. And I was like, you know, I got a little bit of adrenaline. I'll club down. I hit my 58 and I sculled the fuck out of it. Like on that hill. Like I hit that thing so fucking hard right in the middle of the ball, like just pinned it to where I thought I lost the ball. And like, this is, if you've ever played Fairview, you know that it's an easy par hole. If you're not birdieing, if you're not parring, you're losing a stroke. So I immediately think like, I'm looking at six now, so I'm going to lose a couple strokes, blah, blah, blah. Like I just, the wheels turning.
Yeah.
Ended up finding my ball, got up and down, got up and up and down for a six. you might even want to add another up. It was just a crazy, crazy hole. But that's when I felt the real momentum shift, because the day before, I had played the last three holes pretty horribly. I went 8, 5, 7, those two par fives. So wasn't looking forward to the ending, especially with Shaw's length. He scares me on the par fives. So I started, and I think you can attest to this, I was a little amped up on 15. We had crossed paths with you guys, and everybody's just, you know, I hit a good drive. Shaw hit one off to the right. And everybody's sitting in the fairway just talking. Like,
no, yeah, I didn't see anything wrong. I'm glad you said something. I was zoned out. I was also far enough away where I was observing all of you. So I wasn't like in any real,
everybody's just talking. Around. I'm sitting in the fucking fairway.
And then I realized out of the eight of us, not a single person is addressing a golf ball.
I'm literally sitting in the right fairway. All the rest of the guys are literally in 16's fairway. And by rights, it's their shot. I don't care if you're a little bit closer than me. You're not in the fucking fairway. So yeah. I just go, hey, anybody going to hit their fucking ball? Yeah. Like, and it caused an uproar. Like everybody was like, oh my God, he's so mad. Like he must be leading, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, no, like if you guys aren't going to hit, I'm going to go hit my ball and play golf. Like that's what it was. So everything was just, I was thinking about a lot. So I end up getting a par on that hole, felt good about getting up and down. And I was like, all right, I got to hit three more tee balls. Like, let's just hit good ones. End up fanning one off to the left on 16. Shaw probably hit the farthest drive I've ever seen him hit. So again, the pressure's on. I'm like, all right, just drop your ball, get up there. End up, I believe I got out of there with a seven, and Shaw bogeyed.
Oh, so that's big.
It was only a stroke.
Yeah.
Yep. Because he was up there. He was up close to the green. He had to chip out and because he was blocked left. But then he fanned one out, I think into the bunker. Barely got out. And then, so the one stroke was huge. So I was like, Jesus, got away with one there. Right.
So now going into 17, do you know where you stand or you're just, you kind of have,
I'm trying to do quick math, but with everything's going on, I'm like, there's too much going on in my damn head. I was like, you just got a par of this hole and hope for the best. So hit another good, I think it was like a seven iron I hit or seven or a six, pure contact. Felt good. He did the same. We're both like, I don't know, a yard apart from each other. Me being the first to hit, I was super nervous about blading it. And it was the same. The last time I used this club was on 14 when I skull fucked it and did not have enough in the back to do that. So I got it in the air, but I had tugged it and hit it into that, the bunker on the right there. Mm-hmm. So I was like, shit, this is going to be a tough one because they're all wet and it's tough to get out of there. And I was just hoping for water. Luckily he didn't, he rolled one in there. Like he just topped it or did something, did the same thing. So I was like, all right, I got to get this out of the bunker and put the pressure on him. I was like, I feel like he's starting to feel the pressure now too. And if you listened to the pod before, I had said that he might've been a little bit of a mental case, and it proved right on that hole. He skull fucked one out of the bunker and it went past the green and then chunked another one and then chunked it again.
Oh no.
And then got up there and he got a 7 on that hole and I bogeyed. So got some strokes back. At that point, I'm like, all right, I have to get a par and I'm going to win the Masters. Like that's all I and the first thing I think of, I'm like, just get off the tee. Don't lose another ball. So I was fanning stuff out to the left kind of all day. Not too bad, but enough where I was like making an adjustment and I pulled it into the right trees, ended up finding it, but Shaw did the same. And then after his second shot, he was saying, get on the green. So now I'm thinking this dude has an eagle putt.
Oh, fuck.
And it's fucking close. So instead of, I was just going to hit a 4-iron and then just wedge up there. But I was like, I got to go for this. I had like 200 and I think 220 to the hole.
Yeah.
So I hit my hybrid as hard as I can, like just ripped it, fanned a little bit to the left, but gave me a shot over a bunker. And then, so we go up and we talk to you guys and I'm just like, all right, I just got to make these couple shots, dude. End up hitting it in the bunker.
Yeah, you chunked the first chip.
I chunked the first one. Chunked the second one.
How nervous
one.
Were you? Were you fucking nervous?
I was nervous, dude, because this dude had a pretty good look at birdie.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if he drains that, it could get if he fucking drains it and I can't get out of this bunker, like
yeah.
And not to mention, I hit the fucking clubhouse the day before.
Oh yeah, you got to tell that story.
Yeah, literally the day before I did the same thing. I either judged the club wrong or the shot wrong or whatever, but I hit one thin and had a wrong club. It hit the cart path, hit the gutter, bounced up on the roof, rolled all the way over like next to like where we putt.
Oh, it's so far. Like
it was so far.
If you've ever to hit that roof was just insane.
It is. But yeah, end up getting
so you're in the bunker, you get
out of the bunker just barely. Hit a pretty good chip after that and tapped in for bogey. And Shaw missed his birdie putt, taps in for par, and I beat him by 2 strokes. So
wow, I didn't realize it was actually that close. I hadn't heard the story yet.
So. Yeah, he shot an 89. I shot an 85.
Good 85.
It was a really good 85. Could have been, like I said, it could have been a lot better. The last 3 holes on the weekend, I shot. What did I shoot? So I got an 8 and a 7. So that's 3, 4, 5 over par on 16. 2 over par on 17. So that's what, 5, 6, 7, right?
Yeah.
What did I say? That's it was 5?
Yeah, that's 7.
So 7. And then I did 7 and a 6. So 3 more. So 10 over par on the last 3 holes. It's miserable.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Really miserable because those holes are, they're gettable. Like,
oh,
they're
for
not,
sure. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you hit a good tee ball on 16, you should be able to get up and around the green in a couple. So, but yeah, it was closer than I thought. Zach was right up there too. He finished third. Who the hell finished fourth? I totally forgot. Frankie or no, Brett. Brett finished fourth.
Oh, wow.
I think that was his first top four since we moved to eight guys. So congrats to him. And then I think it was Frankie and
Hammy.
Hammy. Yeah. There was what, three tiers, right?
Yeah. I figured. Yeah. Oh, that was hilarious.
Yeah. You made it to the third tier.
No, I had a tier. I was in a tier of my own in the basement.
Yeah. So yeah. Then we got to come back and watch the Masters, and oh, I can't go here. The best thing about Fairview, and really probably the only good thing that happened this weekend, were those wings, dude.
Oh man, there's nothing better than good wings.
Yo,
those were I know good wings.
Yeah.
Those were good ass.
Would you consider yourself? I'm a
connoisseur.
You are? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Dude, you were piling those things.
Fuck yeah. You saw the way I handled that? They brought three big plates out. I grabbed a small plate and I stuffed that plate. I was
like, they were
starving.
They were only like, they were only going to be on the table for 4 seconds and you were getting.
Hey, you never know when the waiter's going to take them away nowadays.
It was a dash. But yeah, they were
so good.
They were so good. I would drive up there just to get the wings.
It's funny because I always used to say a very underrated aspect about playing at Fairview is having lunch there after. On the porch on a good day, which I can't even.
We did that with the Shawnee boys. That was such a good day.
Yeah. I can't even think about that because the way we saw that place, it was so dark.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Definitely going to have to go back when it's nice.
I'm never going back.
No, you're gonna have to. Did we say the differential too? If people didn't do the math,
oh,
it's 27 holes, 27 strokes.
Yeah. So the last round that I played last year was a 71 there, and my first round this year was a 98. So yeah, it was 27 strokes.
27 strokes.
A better number. Pretty incredible. A better number.
Yeah.
Last year I came in third, I believe. And I shot 150 total score. This year I shot came in seventh, not eighth, and I shot 193. So 43 stroke difference last year.
That's crazy.
That's the one I'm most excited about.
That's a big one. I mean,
that can't be replicated.
No, my score. I mean, I was right behind you at like 151, right?
Last year.
Yeah. And I came in fourth. And this year I won with a 158.
Oh yeah. It was 10 strokes. 148 won it last year.
Yes. Yep. I remember that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But that was just conditions.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And what'd you say when you posted your scores too?
Oh, there was one of those like conditional strokes. Actually, I believe they were adding a stroke, which didn't really make sense. So on the gin, it says it's a plus one for that day for Saturday.
Yeah.
So I have to actually look into what that means, but it either added a stroke or it took away a stroke.
Had to, whatever was in our favor, right?
That's what I thought, but looking at my scores from last year, it doesn't look like that.
There's no way.
It's a PCC plus one. And I have a minus one, which took a stroke down.
There's no way anybody shot well this past weekend.
That's what I'm saying. There's no way. The only thing I could think is if there were holes.
I feel like we saw all the golfers that golfed.
Oh yeah.
Like that, you know.
Yeah. No, crazy. It was tough.
But yeah, then we got to come home and see old Scottie Scheffler, dude. Let's get into the actual Masters, and then. And we can get out of here and not talk about the Masters anymore.
All right.
It's been a long 3 weeks. So what'd you think overall?
You want to start with Scheffler?
Yeah. I mean, we kind of have to, right? I mean, this guy,
I don't even know
where to start.
Like, I know.
It's incredible what he's done in the past. What is it, 50 days?
It's like 50 something days, 53, 58 or something like that. But yeah, he's won four out of the last six.
You ever seen a run like this? I don't know if I have.
Since I've been like actually following golf, no way.
Do you even remember anything like this? Like the closest thing, and everybody's going to be like, oh, it's because you like Spieth. But the closest thing is it's Spieth or Justin Thomas when Justin Thomas won Player of the Year. I think that was like in 17 or 18, when he won like five tournaments and the PGA Championship. But nothing like this in a short amount of time like this. Like that was
no.
Both of theirs were like, yeah, Jordan won a couple and then won the Masters and then was, you know, close to the Open and like he was doing his thing. But it all seemed spaced out. Like this is just like Scotty needs to just stop playing tournaments for a little bit and give everybody else a chance.
I think he said he's taking a break. I think he's taking a couple weeks off.
Yeah, he should.
I saw
he should go spend some of the money that he's accruing here.
I hate to do this, but because I know how much you love the world golf rankings, but obviously pretty impressive he does this after becoming world number one, which kind of justifies that, you know, that ranking
I think now, I mean, now more than ever, I believe it.
Right.
Like before,
whether it's the hottest golfer or not, but
right.
The statistics. So the gap right now in points between Scotty, who's obviously number one.
Yeah.
And number 10, which is Sam Burns, is the same gap. So that number of points that Scotty's up on Sam Burns is the same gap between Sam Burns and the number 781st player in the world. It's the same amount of points is that difference. So
holy shit.
That's the lead he has on the field on the top 10.
Wow.
Not on the top 10, but everybody outside the top
10. That is an incredible stat.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
I didn't want to bring it up. I had to bring it up.
How much is he even up on second?
I don't know. I haven't actually looked at it.
Who is even? I'm gonna look this up right now.
Oh, dude, Colin is. So Colin is number two.
John went to three.
Yeah, Morikawa finished a solo fifth, dude. He had a crazy. I mean, we'll talk about that, but
yeah,
He had a big. That was a big close.
Yeah, there was a couple big closes.
But yeah, well, the Scotty thing, like I don't know. It's you know we say it like, you know, his game seems like it's good anywhere.
Oh my God.
Is it that many?
Oh my God. So when we talked about this on the podcast, when we were talking about official world golf rankings, and we said that nobody was catching Rahm was like close to
that was like a month ago.
It was close to 9 points, right? It was like 8.7 or something like that. Oh my God. Scheffler is at 10 points. 10.06 points. Colin Morikawa isn't even at 8. He's just under 8 at 7.98. So that's an incredible move because we have to we have to deep dive into this and see like what happened, but like that is crazy to me. That's crazy. I don't even know what it means, but that's so much. Like, and Rahm,
that's wild.
And now Rahm's dead.
Yeah, I know, right? I don't know. It's just, are you? I mean, it's so surprising. Obviously, I think the whole Scotty thing for him to one hold the lead for so long, then to hear him like say afterward. I don't know if you heard, but in that presser, how Sunday morning he was sobbing, telling his wife like he didn't deserve this, like he wasn't ready for the moment and everything, and like.
And how are we feeling about all this stuff that he's been saying? You know, Frankie hit him up pretty hard about the not even getting this far in his dreams and then crying because of all that. Like, are we thinking that this is genuine? Like, or is he?
Oh, I think it's genuine. I think like the greater question is why, and I don't know the answer, but why is he having such success as a 25-year-old? And yet still, like, he just won the Masters, he won 4-6, yet still it doesn't feel like he has the, not cult following, but he doesn't have the following or the, I don't know, just like the energy that, like, I mean, we saw Rory produce on 18, and just to see, just to see the way people just ride for Rory, Spieth, Tiger, like,
yeah,
and we don't, you know, it's I don't know, it's just weird that, you know, everybody wants to hop on the hottest, latest, newest thing. And I don't know if it's to your point, is it, you're asking, is that genuine? Is it, you know, is it just who he is? Is it his personality? Is it the lack of like access that we get to him? I don't know the answer.
You can compare it to like Cam Smith too. These guys are electric, but nobody is getting behind these guys. Like, I feel
Cam's got a little bit of a, Cam's starting to,
He's getting a little bit
come
of
out
swag,
of his shell. But... he's getting a little bit of swag, and I think he's starting to gather a following too. And
but why is it different than like the Justin Thomases and the Rorys and the needle movers? Like
right.
these guys are doing the same exact thing, if not better.
Right.
I mean, there's a handful of guys that haven't even come close to this. Like, what about Patrick Cantlay?
Yeah.
You know, Patrick Cantlay won 3 tournaments, 4 tournaments last year, and he's the same thing. Like, nobody like. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's emotionally crazy. Like they don't move the needle, which is right. You know, it's interesting because you know the people like when you talk about the riders, right? Like you know, you get Spieth, the Rory, yeah. the Tiger, and everything. Like the Spieth, it's and the Rory, it's like they're very like a kind of emotional. You can almost see you can like see what they're going through, right? Spieth will tell you, he will like talk it out.
Right.
And then like they're super relatable and like, you know, they have all these qualities that are like very, I feel like, I don't know, magnetizing in a sense. And it's not that Scheffler doesn't have that. That's the thing that Scheffler's like, I mean, I guess we don't really know enough about him per se,
I
but
guess, yeah,
like he's got that homemade swing. Like
I mean, if
he does everything what like golf related wise, like you would think you would, you know, he's such a guy that you would want to be a fan of. Like right. it seems.
And he I actually, heard a comparison to him and Spieth. Like they're both Texans. They're both young studs. I think Scheffler went to Texas as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Young studs that come up and
won a bunch on the amateur scene.
Exactly. Roll through there. And now they're doing this whole thing like comparably. And even their games are similar. Like they don't drive it very well. They are scrambling all over
the
place.
So that's so why doesn't you don't know the answer either, right?
I have no idea what the answer is.
Yeah.
I want to ride with Scotty, but I'm just right. like
I know.
And how many fucking tournaments is he gonna have to win?
Well, that's
for
the
me
thing.
To be like, I am the biggest Scotty Scheffler fan and I will ride
yeah
until he looks like Spieth right now.
Yeah, and it's weird. Seriously.
You know,
it's weird to be in that situation where, because you know, we never really find ourselves here where you have a player who goes out and gets on a hot streak, wins a couple tournaments, but then like, you know, it almost felt like going into the Masters, I was counting him out because it's like there's no way he does it again. Like, what
it's
are
like
the
whoever
odds?
Wins
what are the
Valero.
Odds that
right.
What are the odds that these guys? If you win, what are the odds you're going to keep winning? The chances that you know
it just
or
gets
how many
lower
times,
and lower every yeah. time you win.
And he goes out and dominates the Masters.
And that's the thing; it wasn't even fun to watch. Like honestly, like
well,
when he
from a dramatic side,
exactly. Like there was a lot of fun things, but it was kind of like last year with Hideki. He was up by a couple strokes, and he just kept playing solid golf, and it was so annoying. Like you wanted him like in the beginning there when Cam birdied and
he started.
Like,
yeah.
We're like, this is what we wanted. This is going to be sick. Like, yes, I was like, Scotty can win. I'm fine with that. But I just want it to be like, I want there to be some fireworks. You know, we never got it, but just an incredible run.
That's like, just a testament to Scotty though, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Just
but
crazy.
Yeah, that's just the biggest thing with him is that I'm so curious to see where this goes. Obviously yeah. him talking openly about like, you know, him not, you know, this is, it's almost like what he's doing right now is news to him. And it's so funny to like right? see it's an athlete dominating a sport
yeah.
and him being like, him genuinely being like, yeah, this is crazy. Like, I just won the mat. Like, you know, he's saying I not ready for this Sunday sleeping on the lead, which is also like, I think that's what makes this tournament so awesome is that it's built up this like such a mystique that sleeping on the lead now, like at the Masters, and you just to hear a player like actually verbalize this is like you've kind of had this idea that it's this kind of like just dreaded thing. Like, you know, it's right. all they talk about. It's just
you'd almost rather not.
Nothing be worse than you sleeping on that lead, like
especially
Sunday,
a big
waiting
one.
Waiting around, go especially yeah, right? Yeah. Especially a big one. Yeah. And obviously we had the Spieth horror stories of that big lead. But
we don't have to bring that up.
But there's been plenty of times. Yeah, we don't have to bring that up. I don't want to bring that up.
Yeah.
But it's just crazy to hear him say that and then to see him go out and
yeah.
just shut the door with a 4-putt 18, which was sick too.
That was, he actually, that was to you.
That was, I was going to say that. That felt like a tribute to me.
That was a tribute to you. He said,
so
you
know, respectful for him to look out to see two masters like that.
Shout out to Ted Scott too, his caddy.
Wild.
Yeah, won it with Bubba, won it with him now. Obviously, he's making a huge impact on Scotty too. Like,
yeah,
he just got him what, this year? This season?
Yeah, I believe. Yeah, it was this year.
Boy, they are just clicking.
Yeah.
Do you see his Instagram post too, by the way, with the flag? He's like,
yeah, that's pretty funny.
Pretty good. If you haven't looked that up, look at, I think it's, I mean, it's all over the place. You probably saw it, but.
Also, Scotty said his favorite course to play is Southern Hills.
Is he
where they're playing?
He's the PGA.
He's saying they're gonna. He's pretty much just, he guaranteed he's winning that too. So you can put your bets in now. He said, yeah.
Wow.
No, he didn't say that, but that was he has been quoted and on record saying that, but previously before this was announced.
If that boy likes a course, I'm betting on him. That's all there is to it.
Well, and, like, and I think that
I will. I am at that point. I'm at that stage of liking someone is that if he likes a course, I am positive he's going to be there. Like,
one of my biggest takeaways from this weekend is two people, Cam Smith and Scotty, is just like, I can't wait to see them in the, they're always going to be in the conversation of like, oh, who's going to compete at Augusta. And those are just two guys that I just,
Cause Cam Smith,
I like watching their game.
This is Scotty's. Scotty wasn't really relevant before that, I don't think.
No, but you win one.
But yeah, he wins one, and now it's going to be okay. He loves this place.
Yeah.
Well,
and you've proved you could do it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to be talking about Scotty probably the rest of the year because he's going to keep winning. You want to talk about Tiger?
Yeah, that's no brainer.
Yeah. Tiger should have been first. We should have led the show off.
I know. I couldn't believe you.
Three times in a row.
I couldn't believe it.
So, initially, I'm just super psyched. Like, it was a win for me.
Oh, my God, dude. It was
a huge win.
Are you kidding me? After Thursday? Like, the Thursday he delivered?
Here's the thing. After Thursday, it was a disappointment because I thought he was going to make a run. And then Friday was pretty tough, but it was windy and gross. But he still made the cut. And after seeing him on Sunday, the way he was limping around, I was like, oh yeah, he almost got his leg chopped off 14 months ago. Now I remember why he's probably playing like this. But he did so much better than a lot of big name guys.
Oh my God, dude.
Like, we didn't talk about any of the missed cut guys like Spieth and Brooks and Jesus, who are the other big ones? There was a couple big. Oh, Xander. I think there's a couple big ones, but just that, like, he went out and he competed in a damn golf tournament.
The thing I'll remember the most from the entire week was Friday after he started slow and it looked like the wheels were coming off. He just gritted his teeth and went to work, and it was so impressive. He's like, I'm fucking making this cut, because it looked early on there. I think he had two or three bogeys in a row, and it looked ugly. And the way he just grinded out the rest of that round to make the cut.
Well, because going into
you knew going into the weekend that one, physically he just did not look good.
Right.
The respect, like, and you could see the respect of that he was being given from the crowd, and almost the way he took the respect from the crowd, like he knew that, damn, this is crazy. I'm doing this right now. This is really like a physical feat.
Yeah.
To see him like come off 18 on Sunday where he just shot like 78.
Yeah.
And blew up, and to see him grinning ear from ear being like, holy shit, I'm walking up.
I did it. Yeah.
It was like that. It was insane. But
did you hear that thing that Bryson went out and walked with him, or like walked a few holes?
Like as a fan?
Is that true? Yeah.
No, yeah.
I think Dylan DeChair tweeted or posted something.
That wouldn't surprise me.
And said that he ran into Bryson and he's just like, dude, what are you doing here? And, he's just like, I don't know, you know, how many chances I'm going to be able to watch this happen. Like,
yeah.
True. I'm still a Tiger fan too. And I was like, God damn it. He always does this shit.
Yeah.
You know,
now he's under the knife.
Now he is under the knife. So I'm so glad that we're not going to have to talk about him.
Yeah.
This golf season.
I know. Legit. He's probably done for the year.
So nice. At least till.
But yeah. St. And Andrews. we got confirmation from Tiger that like, it's all systems go, dude. Like LaCava was saying, he's like, he said yesterday on a, I think it was on a podcast or it was on like a radio beat, that like he doesn't see why when he gets fully healthy he couldn't compete. And honestly, like there were some things that
that's
he showed
so sick.
Where it's just like to be able to do that, granted at a place you're super familiar with and whatnot, but to have the skill level at that age to come off the bench for
what do you think surprised months, what surprised you most about his game?
His iron play. Yeah. I mean, he's just some of the shots he hit. Dude, he almost had an ace on, I think it was six. Yeah. Some of the, he hit some balls to like 3 or 4 feet from like 218 yards, 208 yards. Just like, his iron play is just, it's unmatched. And the fact that he doesn't lose. And the thing is, it's funny listening to people who know the golf swing talk about it, how like now it's almost looked as good as it's ever looked. And it looks that way, dude. It looks so fucking clean.
I know. It's crazy.
It's insane.
I was super impressed. I thought his driver was going to be way worse than it was.
Like, right.
Honestly, that was my biggest issue, because he had said like he hasn't been able to swing that the most.
Right.
You know, his putting wasn't the best.
No.
I think that comes down to nerves and being in a tournament, and you know, he hadn't played in a tournament in so long. Obviously his chipping was good, fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're right. Most impressive was his iron shots. Then probably driver, and then a short game to me. But yeah, just incredible that he did it.
I'm
super impressed. And, I won that bet with my boss. So I'm getting a 6-pack of beer. So thank you, Tiger. Thank you for making it, a solid Masters.
How much do you think that like the Tiger effect of this weekend, did it throw any shade? Do you feel like there was not shade, but do you feel like this was any less of a win for Scotty because of Tiger's influence?
No, because I feel like
not in a, you know what I'm saying? Like just at least for the shine, like, do you feel like he's deserved the, because the story, I mean, it was nonstop Tiger. Do you feel like now coming off of it that Scheffler deserved, like he got what he deserved as far as like acknowledgement and respect for coming out and doing and just still being on this heater? Like, do you feel like he's even being talked about enough?
I don't. I mean, we were saying that over the world number one. Like, but that's just kind of what we were talking about. Like, he's not that guy, you know?
Right,
and I felt the same way. When Hideki won last year, like it just was like,
yeah, he had guys, a good stretch just, of playing golf too. Hideki.
He did.
Yeah.
But it's just like another win. Like they're just different guys. Like Scotty just went home and probably wore his Masters jacket around and was just like, okay. And then just went about his day, just like Hideki was in the damn airport with it draped over the, you know what I'm saying? It's just
right,
different.
Right.
Just different. So I don't know. Do they get talked about enough? I mean, I think so. But probably not as much as if Rory won or one of the needle movers. So it's tough. It's kind of tough to say. Like that's a tough question,
you know,
to answer.
And the more I think about it, when you put it like that with like, you know, it's one of the rare sports where like just the average Joe can be like elite. Yeah. And we all kind of know those people that are just kind of like average Joe, like per se, like they just live a simple life. It's not a knock. It's just the way that they operate. It's almost like we have an average Joe at the top of the game and we don't really know how to, cause he doesn't give us like whether good or bad, there's no, you know, he gives us these raw quotes. His him and his wife are adorable. Everything that he did it the right way.
Almost too adorable.
He went through the Corn Ferry Tour. He went through the Corn Ferry Tour. He had a great, like, you know, like that whole thing. He kind of like perfectly rose the ladder, and then he comes into complete dominance early in his career. Wins four times in 6 days, or four tournaments in six tries, and now is just like, you put an average Joe in that situation and he doesn't know what to do. And that's when he wakes up on Sunday, cries his eyes out, and then tells the public that I wasn't ready for, I cried to my wife because I wasn't ready for this moment.
Right.
We don't know what to do with that, Scotty.
That's the truth. Like, what do we do with it? Like,
I don't know. And I feel bad because I, even thinking about it going into this, I didn't have an answer. I don't know why. We talked about it this weekend. We were at the point where like we were rooting for drama, but everybody agreed, almost all eight of us.
Yeah.
We weren't rooting against Scotty.
No.
And you know, that's kind of where we're at. It's like, he's not a bad guy. It's not that he's not a good guy, but he's not, you know,
he's not a needle mover.
He's a guy.
And that's the thing. Like,
there's nothing wrong with it. It's just,
it is what it is. Exactly.
I can't wait to see, because we got confirmation again. I know we always bring this up, but Netflix it was there this week, and which is awesome that they got access to Augusta. I just can't wait to see if, like, you know, this has to be a massive storyline. I can't wait to see, like, maybe that's what it's going to take. You know, we're going to get, maybe we get a behind the scenes look at this crazy perfect life.
Yeah. It's crazy. I can't wait to see that. Interesting. Dude, what, shit.
You think he's gonna? I'm going too far with this.
No, I want to hear this.
I was gonna say, like, you think his closet's one of those weirdo closets where it's one color t-shirt, one color shorts, one, like, the same shit. Like, he kind of looks like looks super old, right? Got the accountant nose. He's got it all. He's fucking Joe. I'm gonna start calling him Scotty Joe.
He might be Scotty Joe. That's crazy. It's the truth, though. I don't know. I don't even know what to say about that guy, but kudos to him. I mean, he did it. And
yeah, he did do it.
Now more than ever, he is the best golfer on the planet. Number one golfer. Like, yeah. That's all there is to it. It's not even close.
I can't wait till
it's not even close. Like, it's not even close.
Are we at the point with him? I think this is a great way to finish this.
Okay.
We don't know the last time we were in the situation where with a golfer where we are going to legitimately, the next time he rolls that ball out, it's going to be a heat check. Like, the next time he plays in a tournament, if he could,
what's going to be the number?
We going to expect him to win?
I don't know about win, but if he doesn't do the top five, he's dead. He's dead.
He's dead. He's dead. If he wins five, I don't know. I can't. I'm starting to let my mind wander.
I know.
Imagining like how many more times he could win this year and or consecutively.
I mean, if you think about that stat, one more stat before we got to move on. Did you see that stat that the only person like in the past 10 or 12, 15 years or whatever to win four times on the PGA Tour, one being a WGC, one being the Masters, and two other tournaments? Who that guy was? It was Tiger Woods, like 10 times.
And yeah, wow. Mm-hmm. Damn.
Nobody else.
Scotty Joe, dude.
Scotty Joe. Crazy. All right, let's move on.
Let's go right to Rory. When you think of what's your, like, just kind of one Rory takeaway from the week?
I think he shot a good round on Sunday, just like we had said. Like, right. It was an electric round. Did I ever
64 one off the course record?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy.
But did it move you in any, like, where are you at with Rory? Like, what did that do for you? Was that something that you felt like you needed to see? Was that any sort, do you think that that's any sort of momentum, or do you think that was just it was
honestly, if we're just speaking freely, which we do a lot on this podcast, and it's just the same old Rory. He just,
yes, that's where I
does that. That's he just where does that
it,
now.
It did nothing for me. It was cool. You know what? You know what it was. You
it
know
was
what
awesome it was? To see. I can't take that away from him.
Yeah,
it was an amazing round, and I'm glad that there was that to watch, because to shoot 8 under was incredible.
On Sunday, when on it was Sunday, three strokes or four strokes better than anybody else in the field.
Yeah, which is crazy. Only three, because I know Colin,
a three, Colin
was a five, and Zalatoris was five. But yeah, but it's typical Rory. It's just typical Rory. Mediocre on Thursday, got made the cut, did his thing Saturday, didn't make any, and then just comes out and there's no pressure. There's no nothing. He just goes out, and it's not like he doesn't know the course, you know?
Yeah.
He just goes and some putts fell and some bunker shots fell. So is what it is to me. I'm not worried about Rory.
Rory makes my two takeaways. Rory, to watch Colin follow up Rory's eagle on, I think it was on 15, and Rory makes a nice eagle, and then Colin follows one up right after. And then for Rory to chip in from the bunker, and then Colin to follow it up. That was insane. And then I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I need to see Rory win, because I need to see how crazy people will go, because he had a tribe behind him.
Win the Masters win a tournament. Okay.
Really? No, a major.
I was just going to say,
I wanted to say how insane St. Andrews would go.
How insane is it going to be if we get a Rory Scheffler McIlroy final pairing?
Oh my God.
Or no, Tiger.
No, I mean, yeah, I was to say not.
I just
not,
said yeah. Rory. I just yeah. said Rory, Scheffler, McIlroy. Tiger, Rory, and Scheffler. Yeah, final round.
The three greatest golfers ever.
The three greatest golfers to ever live.
White flag, the sock. Yeah. All right. What else?
Too good. I don't know. Lowry went up there. That was
that was impressive.
Second Masters that you've kind of called a good guy.
He's somebody I could see hanging around too. Like,
what about our Brooks pick,
dude? I know, not great, not a great look. And he came out so on fire too. But man, that flat stick, he did not putt well this week.
He could not.
He didn't have it. A couple guys got ejected. The weather was, it ejected those cedoed some good players.
Sure did. But yeah, Danny Willett was up there, which was crazy. Charles Schwartzel,
JT had a nice run.
I'll tell you what, after shooting plus four on Thursday for Thomas to come back and get a top 10, that was good for him. But kind of proves our point that he can't handle the majors. I don't know what it is with him. He was a heavy favorite and just blew his load on Friday or Thursday.
It's interesting looking at, you know, we use their, you know, your final standing in majors as like almost like a data point when you're, you know, talking about different golfers and, you know, this, it looks like, what was JT seventh or,
tied for eighth,
you know, it looks like, oh, nice. Like he was, that's good for him. Like a, you know, top 10 in a major and it is, but it just didn't feel like that, you know,
not
it
at all. It didn't
feel like that. Like they're not all created equal.
He didn't, in my eyes, he didn't play well.
Right.
He didn't do good. That's just
a little disappointing. I mean, glad that he was relevant for parts of the weekend, but oh dude. And how about Willie Z?
I know. I was just going to say Will Zalatoris, Cam Smith, those two guys were up there last year. Two guys to think about, but Will to shoot a five under on Sunday, that was pretty impressive too.
Do you watch him make short putts? Do you watch the putter head? Do you see it?
So he's, bad.
He makes a Z. Like he has a Charles Barkley yip and he still makes putts. It's unbelievable. He hits it with the toe of the putter. He intentionally, those like shorties, he is intentionally hitting the toe of the putter.
Which is incredible because he doesn't look that bad from 10 feet.
He looks great. He looks like a block.
It's like Chuck Knobloch.
He would much rather, he'd much rather throw it from shortstop than second base.
It's crazy, which is crazy.
It really is. And the fact that he's showed out that well at Augusta twice now.
Yeah. Yep. Pretty wild. And the other guy was Cam Smith, because Cam Smith did too last year. Super disappointed in his Sunday round. I was hoping that he was going to come out and make some hay, but just never ended up doing it.
Yeah, so. he had his foot on the gas. He was going for it, but he could not hit driver. He's been terrible off the tee, and you just can't. You put yourself in too many situations at Augusta that you're. I don't care how good you are, you're not going to be able to get out of it. You know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way the cookie crumbled with him.
Really was. Yeah, I don't have too much more. It was cool to see Sungjae Im. I was super jacked up on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, you were.
I thought I was going to get new clubs or some shit from my bet.
You never thought that, though.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't. You never thought he was winning that.
Absolutely did.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
You had it all picked out.
I had my clubs picked out, ordered. All I had to do was click order. That's it.
That's so funny.
It is. Oh, you got any final thoughts, or are we going to leave them on the 19th?
No, I think
you want to talk about Nike's wardrobe quick.
Oh God, no, I don't even want to bring it up.
It was so bad.
I don't even want to bring it up. And it kills me.
Tony Finau on Thursday with that jump. Oh, just so bad.
I can't even, they're not even worth air time.
Fair enough.
I'm saving my air.
It's a good way to leave them.
That's something Scotty Joe would do.
That would be.
He's got a closet full of airtime.
Scotty Joe. All right. That's it. Leave him on the 19th.